better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's show is brought to you by Parry Athletics, the best pair of training shorts in the game. They do rashies, they do shirts, but what I love is they have shorts for you to roll in as well as shorts for you to chill in. I love them because they're so multi-purpose and they look awesome. Now, you can get your hands on these and you get 20% off with the code BULLETPROOF20 at checkout. Get yours today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJ podcast. I am JT and I'm here with the ever handsome Joseph Worthington.
Hey, we get like, 50,000 downloads a month on this show.
Maybe more.
Yeah. Okay, sometimes
it's
more.
It's a bunch of people.
Yeah, it's quite a lot of humans. Now, obviously, many of those are people that are listening to multiple episodes, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's at least 5,000 of you listening right now.
At least.
At least. Who really love what we do. Of course, there's a percentage of you that are just waiting for us to fail, and that's cool. We're sure. Here for the haters.
No worries.
However, for those of you that are like, no, I would like you guys to stick around, I reckon that probably of that 5,000, there's probably about 4,400 who haven't yet given us a 5-star review on whichever audio platform they're hearing this.
Big facts.
So in the 3 seconds it's going to take you to do that now, please do that now. Scroll up. Give us a 5-star review if you're on YouTube. Like and subscribe. It just helps to support the show so that we can keep supporting you.
Thank you, fam. Now, psychology in BJJ. This is a very important thing because you need a lot of mental fortitude to stay in the game, but you might be holding yourself back by putting unreasonable expectations on yourself, unreasonable expectations on your coach, but then also you might be speaking very negatively to yourself internally and not realize that's holding you back. Because I have had this chat with a few people and I used to do it myself. So I used to be very self-critical. You would be surprised. Early in my athlete journey in Taekwondo, because I used to think, well, if I'm my biggest critic, then no one can discredit me. Like, I'm safe if I'm my biggest critic.
Right.
Like, I will always be better if I'm really mean to myself in my head.
Lady, there's nothing you can say to me that I haven't already said to myself in the mirror every morning.
pretty much. Or worse. You know, a lot of us, I think that comes from this perfectionistic idea of like, if I'm really critical, I'll always get better. Now, sure, it's good to have high standards. And there's probably a place for you to critique your technique and stuff like that. But if you're always kind of judging yourself every time you make a small mistake and be like, oh, you fucking idiot. Like, that straight away has got you distracted from what you need to pay attention to, which is getting better at the thing.
Yeah.
And so getting emotionally caught up or having this repetitious habit of criticizing yourself is not helping you. Because I've actually spent a bit of money talking to psychologists for one reason or another, a couple of them sports related, a couple of them just behavior related. And it's taught me to be less self-critical. And so I had a chat with an athlete recently who's going to the ADCC trials, and they were asking me questions about should they look more jacked when they're cutting weight. I was like, what? What are you talking about? And they said, well, when I cut weight, I look like flaccid and like skinny and limp. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you look like when you cut weight. But shouldn't I look more jacked? I was like, why? What? What's looking jacked or do? But, I want people to think I'm strong. And I'm like, yeah, but dude, what are you doing? Stop thinking about what other people think.
Yeah.
Don't worry about looking a certain way to appeal to others. Like, you're cutting weight to make a weight division to perform at a sport. And everybody looks like shit when they cut weight. Like,
probably not Ethan Krellenstein. He looks great.
Yeah, he's on a lot of juice. I'm not talking about Ethan Krellenstein, but I'm saying, like, think of Conor McGregor when he used to cut for 145.
He looked terrible.
He looked like death. Same thing, Khabib. Even him making lightweight, he looks fucking atrocious, right? Because you've got a water balloon and you're putting a hole in the water balloon and draining out half the water.
Yeah.
You're going to look flaccid.
Yeah.
So don't worry about this whole I got to look jacked thing. I understand Mikey Musumeci is like 0% body fat and looks really muscular, but he's just a skinny guy.
But ADCC has that like 24-hour weigh-in or whatever?
Yeah,
they do. The trials do, right?
Yeah, yeah, the day before. So there's an element there. But why I wanted to bring up this element of managing your psychology is I think people do this to themselves just in the gym. Don't even worry about competition, you know? We look at someone and think, man, they took off their rash guard or their gi, and you're like, dang, they got fucking abs. I don't have abs. Oh, my God, they got some huge arms. I don't have fucking huge arms. Shit, everyone's better than me. And it starts this, like, negative spiral. You know, and look, I think I regularly have to overcome a lot of, I wouldn't say it's negative self-talk, but maybe a little bit of doubt. You know, people start to talk about imposter syndrome. I never feel.
You love ripping on yourself.
I do.
I'll give you an example.
It's a bad habit.
When we shoot content together, when I'm holding the camera and JT's the guy doing the thing, if he gets something wrong on the first take, he'll be like, fucking idiot. I'll be like, bro, like multiple takes is part of it. But you're like, no, I'm good. And I can see you battling with like, you know, your expectations of yourself.
When it comes to presenting on camera, I'm the fucking one-take wonder. I have already practiced this shit. I expect one-take wonder glory. That's what I expect. But if we talk about jiu-jitsu, I expect a fuck-up. You know, not necessarily in a performative way, but like I expect to get a new technique wrong multiple times.
Yeah.
And I understand that that's part of the learning process. So I'm actually here for that. Like I'm actually really here for getting something wrong because for me, I feel like that's a process of discovery. Whereas I think for some people, they're like, oh, I'll never be good at this. You know, but we all know that we all had to struggle to improve.
Yeah.
It's weird because we accept it in other parts of life, but when we come to a different context, say jiu-jitsu, it doesn't necessarily translate that we're patient with ourselves.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks would have an improper calibration of, you know, expectations with jiu-jitsu. Like, oh, fuck, I've been trying this for like the last 5 minutes and I still can't do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, tell me if you've been, once you've been doing it for like a couple of months.
Yeah.
You know, then it's problematic. Yeah, for sure. You see those people, like as a coach, you see those people, whether it's in the gym, on the gym floor or in the academy, who are really hard on themselves and almost getting in their own way.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, like it's fine to be critical, but it does, like when you sort of exerting that energy, like, oh, fuck, like, no, like that's a waste of energy. Mm. Like the better response is like, okay, what do I need to do? Okay, cool. Let me try again.
Fix the thing.
Let me try again. And the patience and the repetition, like the thing will come.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I always say, even if it's like a kettlebell lifting technique, correct someone's technique and I'm like, all right, now just do that 1,000 times. You'll be okay at it.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing that we forget because actually process videos, they're not interesting, right?
Process videos?
Yeah.
What are they?
You know, someone's like, oh, you know, work in progress. We don't give a fuck. We want to see the glorious magical ending. You know, like any video, you know,
yeah.
Oh, I'm just working on my, you know, it's not entertaining. I think because we have montages, right? The montage is the compressed reel, the compressed 15 seconds of glory. You know, like when you see here is a time-lapse video of a seedling growing into a fucking plant.
Yeah.
But it condenses 6 months into 30 seconds. You're like, wow, that's beautiful. How cool.
Yeah.
How entertaining. It's not entertaining to see someone get 1% better at something.
No.
You want to see the before and after, which is, here I was whatever.
Well, you want to see the journey.
Yeah, but you want it condensed, right? Like no one can sit down and watch 12 months of you fucking up.
I would push back on that and say, like, I get your point.
I'm not saying.
But I would say, yeah, but think of someone that's showing their progress, say, over that long timeline. And it's like,
unsubscribe.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's someone that you've done this with whereby they show it and you've been watching this person do this thing for months and then you're like, oh, they finally got it. Like, how sick. If that person is, you know, interesting enough to you that you follow them for that long.
Yeah.
And you might not have watched each of those videos in full, but you've clocked it. Oh, yeah, they're struggling with that. Oh, oh my God, they're not struggling anymore. How cool.
Yeah.
So it's like a more macro view.
Yeah.
Yeah, potentially. But I'm not saying that this is a good behavior with humans. I'm just saying
the it's nature, a behavior.
Yeah, it's yeah. A nature within well, humans.
Yeah, for when we have a short attention span, like we want the thing condensed into.
And you know, whatever. I was watching this comedian, Desmond Bishop, and he's this gray-haired guy. He's a pretty funny guy, but he's talking about how back in the day you had to wait for stuff. He's like, I didn't even realize. I was waiting for the bus. I didn't have no fucking phone. Mindfulness. He's just like, have you ever rewound anything in your life? You had to just sit there, let it rewind. Mindfulness. I was a guru. I didn't even know. He's a funny guy. Patience with yourself, and this is something I do lack. I am a very impatient person. Is we are often more patient with others than we are with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So you might meet someone who's very generous and kind with others, but then very critical of themselves. And one of the ways to recontextualize that is you should speak to yourself like you would speak to a young child. We usually have more patience for young kids because they don't know. They've never done it before. You don't want to scold a kid for doing something wrong. They've never done it. It's not going to help them get better being mean to them. If we could take that approach and apply it to ourselves, then we might be better off, And that's what I wanted to say about this psychology piece is that you being hard on yourself isn't necessarily helping you.
Yeah, right.
As a way to think.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Can be at times, it absolutely can become a toxic trait of sorts.
Yeah, because then there's a time, there's definitely a time in development where being critical is good for standards and improving technique and not accepting being sloppy. But then when it comes to say the performative or a comp, that's no time to get negative on yourself.
Yeah. Time and place.
Yeah, yeah. That's the time to get with your unified self. You got to get everything together and just fucking be like, all right, I believe in me. That's why the fuck I'm here. I'm doing the thing.
Yeah.
So even when you get down on points, you're like, oh, I'm going to still pull out that triangle. But that only comes from really supporting yourself in that moment.
That's an interesting thing you mentioned. Makes me think of a 12 rules thing I read a long time ago. It was big in the movement culture, but it was about John Cage, I think, 12 rules for learning or something. And it was this, he'd put together these kind of 12 sort of rules about learning.
Johnny Cage. the immortal. I was thinking Johnny Cage is also Mortal Kombat, but I thought Johnny Cage was a Marvel character. He's super jacked black guy.
Sounds like he could be, yeah.
He could be, but continue.
But one of them was, which just makes me think of that, the time and the place. And one of his rules was don't try to analyze and do at the same time.
Yeah.
They're separate processes.
Yes.
And I think that's really big. It's there is a time for analysis and critique and personal feedback and review and stuff. And then there's a time for action.
Yeah.
And you see this, right? As when you get people going on a drill, say in class, and you'd be like, all right, cool. We've spoken about it. I've showed you what I want. We've spoken about it some more. Now do. And then someone comes with a stupid fucking Spider-Man question. And you're like, not now.
No.
Do. Questions are good in 3 minutes time.
Yes.
Once you've had a chance to embody what we've just spoken about.
Yeah.
But I think that, yeah, we do that, right? So it's kind of the equivalent of being at a comp and starting to review your game and being like, actually, I don't feel particularly confident in X.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, probably not the time for that.
No. Now is not the time to question yourself and review your battle strategy. Well, it's like, let's look at some of the greatest athletes of all time. They're not cerebral. Brock Lesnar is not a cerebral guy. He's fucking not. But he's one of the greatest collegiate wrestlers of all time. Because I've heard him interviewed, because I've heard him speak many times. It's not to say...
Yeah, but you hear him...
I've heard him on podcasts.
Right.
But I'm saying that if we look at some of the greatest... It's like the... what's the character in... Bobby Boucher in Waterboy. They get him up to talk in front of the high school kids.
Yeah.
And he's like, the guy has a ball and make a tackle. Oh, very good, Bobby. And then what? And then he get up again, he get a ball and I tackle. That leads me to my next point, kids. Don't smoke crack. And they just, because he's got nothing to say. He just does the thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not, this is a stereotype. But in the moment, there can be no thoughts or doubts. There has to just be execution.
Yeah.
And that requires a certain level of stillness. Now, that can come from years of meditation, or that can just come from you're a dumb motherfucker and you're just doing the thing. You know,
I just run through their face. Yeah. Or you got it. You have a good handle on your behavior at those, in that context.
I agree.
Because I'd say with someone like a Brock Lesnar, I mean.
Or like a running back in football. I'm trying to remember the name of the actor. He played for like the Seahawks. He's very famous. His video is literally like, motherfuckers don't like it when you just run through their face. And he just says it 20 times.
Yeah.
His nickname is Beast Mode. Anyway, it's so good. And it's
your
just,
spirit animal.
Because the thing is, I'm an overthinker. I am.
But yeah.
And I've had to cultivate the not thinking to be better at it.
Yeah, knowing when to pull the trigger.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, but you see it a lot in fighting as much as anywhere, where you have someone who's a great athlete or a great competitor, and there's moments where they don't pull the trigger. You know, you see it where you get a matchup where one person is just bringing it and the other person falters for whatever reason. They either get a bit gun shy or something happens that their psychology is not as strong. Now, obviously, if you just get knocked out, that happens, right? But we see it throughout history where certain athletes are consistent in executing under pressure and there's no thinking. It's just, it hits all by itself. So if you are someone who overthinks, here's the key thing. You may think it's helping you. You may think, oh, if I think about this more, I'll get better. Maybe. There's definitely a time and place. And also there's a time and place for analysis, critical thinking, all of that. But then there's also a point at which there needs to be less thinking and more doing. And for everybody, it's different, right? So what gets you into a place of just being able to zone in or get in the zone and just perform the thing is different. For me, it takes about 1.5 grams of caffeine, a few hard hits to the face, and a psychotic wish to kill another person. I feel very calm in those moments. But that's not good for someone else. Someone else might need to actually sit and breathe and maybe do like a small amount of meditation to be able to zone in.
Yeah.
But this is the important thing. If you do not get a handle on your psychology within BJJ, you may never actually realize your potential. It's a limited amount of time, right?
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to competition. And that's usually where people are under the most pressure. So you got to say to yourself, how many ADCC trials have you got in you? It's every 2 years, right? Like if your competitive career is 10 years, it's only 5 shots at the Big Apple. Or if you want to compete at the Worlds each year at every belt or whatever the hell, it's still only 10 opportunities to do that. So managing your psychology on the smaller levels, the less pressurized levels, which is going to class, comp class, local comps, blah, 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 you've got to have a fairly trained approach to dealing with that external pressure. But at the end of the day, it's all in your head, right? You're the one who's, oh, this is so important. Fucking, you know, Masters 5, fucking regional Pawtucket champion. You know, like there's only you and some other guy in the division and he's from a gym and you know him. Like it's only as important as you say it is. But your ability to just be able to clear the noise and do the thing, it takes a bit of practice. So do you have a structure? Do you have a strategy? This is important. Now, I have gone and spoken to, you know, sports psychologists. I've talked to other psychologists in terms of managing my mind, and that's a bit of work. Some of you may not be interested in doing that. You might be like, oh, this sounds like some fucking bullshit. Like I just fucking do my thing, right? So simple enough. But I think managing expectations is an important thing which will enable you to enjoy jiu-jitsu more as well. And that can be a thing that you've got some people who are actually quite good at jiu-jitsu, but they're kind of miserable. Like they win comps and stuff, but when you talk to them, you're like, you're not a happy person, are you?
Yeah.
They're in pain a lot. They're kind of, there's a bit of edge to them. Like I definitely know for myself, I've made myself less happy by having unreasonably high expectations for something that didn't warrant that.
Yeah.
So is there anything you do to manage expectations, Joe?
I think checking in with it. I think that's the main thing, because sometimes to be a high achiever, you have to have high expectations.
Yeah.
Right? And then sometimes having high expectations is a limiting factor in your success in a thing.
Yeah.
So I think checking in with it and reviewing, like, am I setting a bar for myself? Is that bar at an appropriate height? No, actually, I haven't. You know, sometimes I'll reflect on something about, no, I haven't actually held myself to a standard or tried to exceed my standard for a long time. Okay, cool. Let's do that. You know, but sometimes, yeah, you might look back and be like, fuck, I haven't enjoyed my training over the last 6 months. Why is that? Well, actually, I've been trying to do something that just, it's not actually vibing with me. So, you know, checking in with it gives you a chance to recalibrate. And I think that that's where, like, reflection time is really the thing. I think a lot of folks never reflect.
Yeah.
And then they don't have tools around that. And I think that, you know, if I'm thinking about what the kind of boiled down thing of this conversation is, it's like, being able to reflect on yourself and what it is that you want and what it is that drives you, that's really where you discover, like, you know, do high expectations work for you?
Or not.
Are you just hurting yourself?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy this thing? Actually, do you fucking hate this thing? You're doing it for someone else?
Yeah.
You know, like, all of the above.
Yeah. And I think having an honest friend helps. Like a good friend of mine, Mille, shout out. Mille is a black belt down in Melbourne with Lachlan Giles. One time when I was a purple belt, I put all this time and effort in. I lost the final to Ben Hodgkinson on decision. It was
savage.
Fuck that guy. No, shout out. Basically, I got second, so I didn't get to go to Abu Dhabi. I wanted to go to Abu Dhabi. It was a dream of mine, didn't happen. But I had kicked the ass of everyone else. And so I'd done better than I'd done the previous times. And I was kind of a bit gutted and I was a bit down. And Mille had competed as well. He was the belt above me. And I think maybe he was second or he was on the podium. But he said, dude, look how far you've come. How good is that? And I was like, nah, man, I fucking lost to Hodgkinson. And he was like, nah, dude, but you're so much better. Like, isn't that great? How good is it that you are this good at jiu-jitsu now compared to where you were 6 months ago? And I had never thought of it like that, right? And in the moment, it still didn't really hit. But the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, he's right. He's actually right, and I have gotten better, and that was my whole goal. So this isn't the end, you know? Like, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. I was like, yeah, Mille was right. And it does help to have someone outside of you to just help check your expectations, I guess.
Yeah.
There it is, folks. Managing your psychology for BJJ. It's worth giving it a think, and it will help you in future.